Welcome to Motherhood and Career Collide. Hey, I'm Kimberly.
And I'm Ashley. We are two working moms on opposite coasts with experience in both corporate America and healthcare.
Now on a mission to redefine how career and motherhood collide. Between the two of us, we have six kids, ages six and under.
Coming to you from in the trenches of modern motherhood.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's show. I'm Kimberly. I'm here with Ashley, and I'm not sure how the audio is going to come out for this, so bear with us, and hopefully our amazing editors will help us out. I am in my car recording today. I'll explain as we kind of get into today's episode, but excited to kind of chat with all of you and with Ashley. And we're just going to give you a little update on our plan for the summer for the podcast and kind of reflect on some of the things that we have loved during this season of season three of our podcast. So I'm excited to kind of chat about this.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And as usual, a true collision of motherhood and career, right? Needing to be in your car to get this episode done. But I really am pumped to do this overview of season three, just because when you're in the thick of it, it's kind of nice to take that step back and really review what we've talked about, maybe recognize some themes of the, you know, of the first half of this year and kind of reflect on, you know, where we were in February versus where we are now.
Yeah. And, you know, you're hearing us talk about season three, and yes, that means that season three is coming to an end here. And what does that mean for us? We are taking some of the summer to regroup. We're not like fully disconnecting, but we will not be releasing any new episodes after this one until late August, September. I think we're firming up that date, but it'll probably be September, I think, but we'll be working behind the scenes. We're going to, you know, add some freshness to this. I think we learned a lot from this season that we're going to talk about. But what we're thinking moving forward is a cadence of two seasons a year. So we'll have fall, early winter, and then a late winter, spring, early summer. And then we'll take breaks in December and January, and in July and August is where you'll see our breaks.
Yes. Yes. And you know what? I think this is a great lesson learned in boundaries, you know, understanding what works for our careers as it relates to motherhood and just our lives in general, and what's sustainable and how we can produce the best content and feel really proud about putting it out. I know I'm really pumped about the fall season and just everything we have in store that we're working on, to just get some really powerhouse people in to talk to, some really well-researched and vetted topics that will be relevant to all of our listeners. And it's just really great. I'm really excited. We've learned so much over this process. And I think it's nice taking the time right now to reflect on that. I always go back to that moment in my driveway where it was like, hey, do you want to start a podcast? And I was like, oh, I don't really know. And it's honestly been like the best part of my weeks, you know, for the past two years.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. And, you know, it's just so wonderful seeing, you know, even numerically, all of these listeners, the growing platform. I mean, everything about it is great. And we really are looking forward to making it possibly more interactive with all of you. So, you know, please enjoy your summer and stay tuned. But before that, let's talk a little bit about season three. I mean, for you, Kimberly, what was your favorite memory of the season three podcast?
Well, I don't know if I can say a favorite memory, but I can say my favorite part of this season was our guests. Mm-hmm. I think that you know, Ashley and I took a different approach to our guests this season. We did two crossover podcasts. We did a bunch of other kind of really thoughtful interviews related to, you know, state of motherhood. We had our first male on the podcast. I mean, there were definitely some major milestones and some really key guests that we had on. And I love talking to you. Don't get me wrong. I agree. It's the best part.
It's okay. Of
But when you look, like, if you were to go back, if I were to say, hey, go back and listen to any episodes that you might have missed, I would definitely highlight our interviews for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. It was really fun talking to other people. Just like a really light reminder, we made the decision, Kimberly and I, to submit the same questions to every person we interviewed. And it was really fun to see how each of them answered those questions differently. So if that's something you weren't aware of as you were listening to the interview series, I think it would be really cool to go back and listen and just, you know, hear what these different professional parents had to say about that specific question and how they're working through it. Because it was really cool. There's no perfect formula. You know, it's everyone's a little bit different and it works for them though. And they're successful.
Yeah, for sure. And I would say the interaction between our guests and ourselves was just so dynamic. And there was nothing that made those interviews challenging. Mm-hmm. Everyone was excited to be on the podcast, but also just had so much information that was so valuable to anyone listening, in my opinion, and had incredible relevance to what is so important for us as career parents. And I'm grateful for that. I think the conversation I had with Maple was just incredibly powerful. It really hit a note on LinkedIn in terms of having a male CEO talk the way he did about supporting parents, mothers, career mothers, and how transparent he was about his experience and how it was like an eye-opening moment for him with his wife. I just really found that incredibly powerful for all the reasons that, you know, make being a career mom so hard and having someone from the other gender validate what we're going through was really wonderful. And also having that person advocate too for change was huge for me.
Oh yeah. You know what? For me, another really big takeaway was when we spoke with Erica Rooney, the chief people officer, and she said something that really just, I mean, I think about it actually quite frequently about when you ask people here in the US versus in Europe, what do you do? In the US, people will answer with their job or their job title or degree, you know, whatever that may be. In Europe, they answer with what their hobbies are. And I just think that mindset here in the US is, you know, why so many people are so burnt out all the time. And really speaks to the fact that we do need that, you know, quote unquote, unicorn space. And we need to have something outside of our careers, outside of parenthood. And that can feel stressful. Like, well, when do I have the time to do that? But it really is a nod to the cultural pressure we have here in the US versus in, you know, other parts of the world where that is a priority for the entire culture, is to actually have something that you do, that you enjoy, that you can talk about, and it can be like the center of that conversation.
Yeah. She also said something that I loved about what she does with the Zoom background. She never has one on.
Yes.
And yes. I love that too. It was like, I don't have a background because I want people to know, like, I have a life outside of my work. And both are important for their own standalone reasons. And I'm not going to hide, you know, my personal life in the sense of like, this is where I'm working. This is my space. And I just thought that was so powerful, probably really impactful for the employees that she supports. And then also, you know, listening to it to maybe change how leadership shows up internally when they're on calls. I love that. I thought that was great.
That is a good one. I know. My mind's going through all the other fun things that occurred. I mean, really going down the line, then we had Dr. Marcy on. She is the down there doc, and really just having that open conversation about down there was really, really great. I think it's kind of a taboo topic, and I love that we were able to talk to her about, you know, what that looks like as a physical therapist that's treating pelvic floor dysfunction and how that works. So maybe someone who's listening out there can get that treatment that they needed because maybe they didn't know it existed, or maybe they were intimidated by the idea of it, or, you know, whatever it may be. You know, we don't need to be walking around leaking all day long, or when we go jump or do a jumping jack, or, you know, whatever it is, play with our kids. Like, we don't need that part. Like, it was sold for so long as just like part of womanhood after babies. And now it's really being upended so that we know that that's not what it's supposed to be like. It's just that women's health is never a priority. And no one knew that we just needed to rehab our pelvic floors until women themselves started, you know, rehabbing them. And yeah. It's like, hello, you know, this is normal healthcare. Like, this is what should be happening.
Yeah. I really appreciated that episode because of the transparency. There's a lot of questions, you know, in that time frame of when I was sort of in that postpartum first year that I would have never asked or thought or was comfortable to ask. But then when you are listening, or maybe you're still going through it, like even on that episode, they talked about it not being like even year one out. It could be, Dr. Marcy was talking, year two, year three, you could still need like rehab, or you just never rehabbed it and you're 10 years later and the importance of doing it. But what I loved about it is like the advocation. I don't, that's not a word, I bet. Advocating. I'm or like, advocation's not, is that a word? Advocation.
No.
Yeah. No,
but we can make it a word. It is a word today.
I'm like, wait, that is not a word. And then I second guessed myself there. Advocating for yourself comes from like other people sort of like saying, it's okay to ask these questions. It's okay to like talk about this. And I think we opened up that door for someone having the ability to actually be able to ask the question, whether it's to their doctor or actually reaching out to someone like Dr. Marcy to help with pelvic floor. I think that there's just a lot of accepting of our physical body just not returning in many ways back to itself, and for good reasons. Like when we're talking about weight or different, you know, how our hips have changed and things like that, all makes sense. But when you can't jump because you're going to pee yourself, that's a totally different scenario. That shouldn't have to continue on for the rest of your life. That's different. And so I think we kind of created an opportunity, hopefully, where listeners can have like share this episode to someone and say, hey, if you're wondering like what questions to ask or who to reach out to, reach out to Dr. Marcy. She has an awesome program. Or like, you know, if you're going to a pelvic floor specialist locally, here's a list of things that you can start to like ask about or advocate to go to a pelvic floor specialist. When you're not in the medical field, you sort of like, you really have to make the effort, I guess, to ask.
Yeah.
Those
yeah.
So,
and you know what? You can think of it twofold, you know, even more if you want, but, you know, to really take that time to invest in yourself, to invest in, I mean, pelvic floor therapy, it's really a women run business, right? Yeah. So to invest in women, to invest in women owned businesses, and then filtering all of that to, you know, these small businesses, it's just good for you. It's good for the economy. You're not investing in big business pad companies for your leaking pelvic floor. All of it is like a win for everyone. Like, educating women changes the economy. I know this is like really like big of me to go there, but that's like really where my brain goes in moments like this. Like, you educate us on how we can treat ourselves. We go to the person that can treat us, so on and so forth. And like, the entire economy changes because of it, in a good way.
Yeah.
And we feel better. Exactly. We're healthier. We're stronger.
100%. You know, and that goes to another component of an interview that I love that also released this month, which was with Kate Anderson from Motherly, and the stats from their most recent survey. And my favorite part is, like, there's a ton, you know, being in the line of work that we're in, like, we obviously see a lot of these amazing research-based surveys that come out and talk through understanding the state of motherhood. But the thing that I liked about Kate's conversation was also understanding how these surveys are created and how they pool mothers and women and how they bring that data together. I think it did a lot to validate the incredible work that Motherly has done to make that survey so intuitive and just really representing, you know, what the state of motherhood is for that particular year. And I just found that really fascinating and also incredibly valuable as someone that uses data to help support mothers on a yearly basis.
Mm-hmm. It really was nice to get that behind the scenes look at, even, you know, we dove into what it looked like in the beginning when they were doing it. The companies, you know, the survey companies that they were using, data analysis companies they were using, so on and so forth, and how it progressed over time, you know. And I just really love the transparency in companies when they do things like that, because it just shows true growth, where they're not embarrassed by what it was before, but just, that's where we were. And now this is where we are now. And we're just so excited that it continues to progress and grow, and the data gets better and the questions get better. And, you know, all of that, I just was so fascinated. I mean, you know, I was like totally geeking out with all of my, you know, statistical questions and so on and so forth. But it's so powerful when you can crowdsource mothers in that way. It was, yeah, that's another must listen. I mean, every special guest episode was so cool.
Yeah, I feel really like we took on this interview series into a different level of expertise. Every interview we've had has had its own expertise, but I think these ones from this year, it was just more so like more well-known individuals that you as a listener have heard of or know someone that has used the resource. And so to give you a little bit of the behind the scenes of that, I think was huge. But I think there's so much value in who we've had on since the beginning of doing our interview series, because they all have such incredible ability to provide support to everyone just at different stages, you know? And so I'm excited to see how we continue to grow that interview series as we embark on our next season. And I'm so grateful for all our guests since we started this, because I think that they all have had such a powerful impact on me personally, and also, you know, hopefully you listening as well.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, and of course, you know, I don't really think we had anything like too lighthearted, but I really love just looking back and seeing, you know, how we talked about women in leadership stepping away and, you know, just prepping for spring break. And, you know, that literally took two parts, right? We couldn't even get that in one episode because it is so stressful. You know, just so many things we talked about, again, like mentioning that unicorn space and why it's so important, why it matters that we have hobbies outside of work and, you know, being a mom. But, you know, honestly, because again, speaking of statistics, and I'm a stat person, you know, our best episode of season 3 was actually not a special guest, but it was our identity as a woman versus a mom.
Oh and my I think gosh.
That really speaks, I think that just speaks so much to where we are right now, you know, as women and mothers, and finding that separation and rediscovering yourself in new ways. Yeah, I just think that's really powerful to note.
Yeah, that I actually, you're surprising me because I haven't looked at those stats recently. So I didn't realize that. That is really cool. It's actually something we cover in Learning Motherhood too. It's the first video of our Return to Work series. And it was one of the things that was so shocking to me when I became a mom. And I think that we're, as you kind of go down your motherhood journey, it's ever changing. So what it looks like when you're a brand new mom versus like when you're further along in toddlerhood to school age kids, which is so, and it's such an interesting turn for me as being in the school age phase where my daughter, my youngest, is going to be starting kindergarten next year and feeling this full with activities and kind of navigating that. And what does that mean? And where do you get your unicorn space in when you're doing that? So I'm sure I'll have a lot to say about that as we go into the fall. But yeah, I think it's so, first of all, I love that we are covering that to help make sure that for mothers, we keep that top of mind. We don't let that like leave us because it's easy to get lost in motherhood. And it's easy to get lost in the day-to-day of all the pulls that come from parenting, marriage, or not being married. And like, whatever that scenario is, it's easy to get lost in that day-to-day and forget about taking care of ourselves. So I love that that ended up being our top episode. Yeah. I think that's really cool. Speaking of getting lost in parenting, just switching gears, you know, as we're sort of wrapping up this season, I thought it would make sense to just like check in and see like what you've been up to recently. I mean, I know, of course I know, but not everyone knows unless they're under a rock and haven't been following you on social media, but you know, why don't you share a little bit of like some brand new things and some like milestones you just had?
Oh my gosh. It's been kind of a whirlwind 4 weeks, if you will, maybe six, let's call it 6 weeks. Just feel like there's been a lot of like reframing, mindset shifting, transforming, like all those things that I've been like kind of working towards and patiently waiting for, like finally it's like it's all kind of happening and coming together, which is crazy. Like, you know, like I kind of just live my life in the mindset, like keep doing what you're doing and you know, it will happen. So a stream of events essentially is I read this book called White Woman by Syra Rao and Regina Jackson. And then I watched their documentary called Deconstructing Karen. You can stream it on Apple TV. I highly recommend it. It is very fascinating, even if you don't agree with it. I mean, truly, openly, my husband watched it with me and did not like it whatsoever and was not on the same wavelength, you know, or level as I was when I watched it in terms of, you know, how we felt about it. But with that said, go in with an open mind. It's really cool. So I had reached out to, I had been connected with the authors and said, I love this concept. I really want to amplify your work. I want to be a part of it. Let me know what I can do. And they said, well, we're sort of on hold with that because we're doing something. We'll be in touch. So then I get a call from Syra Rao about a month later. And she says to me, we're doing this movement and it's called Here for the Kids. And so to your point, if if you don't follow me on social and you are an avid podcast listener only, then I will inform you that it's an advocacy movement led by Black, Brown, and Indigenous women to ban guns and buy them back. And the goal is to go state by state to all the blue states. And they're presenting the governors with an executive order to ban guns and buy them back. So this is completely unconstitutional. We know this. That's the part of the strategy that they have here. But it's really to prove a point, because at the end of the day, even if the governor does sign it, it gets struck down in federal court, but it's to make a statement. It's to move the needle. It's to show everyone as a country that we're ready for this type of change, because guns right now are the number one killer of children and teens in the United States. Isn't that crazy? Like, literally. And it does not discriminate by race. Like, white kids are just as likely as brown, black, and Indigenous kids to be killed by a gun. So it's affecting everyone. And their goal is to really get white women involved, because white women are least likely to be brutalized by police. It's just a societal norm. White women are just, because of their proximity to power and privilege, kind of immune when they're out in the world, especially when it comes to interacting with people of authority, like, or discipline, like police officers. So white women sort of, you know, led the charge on the ground, as BIWOC led it from behind the scenes. And now what happened was, we went to Colorado. I met the most incredible women on the planet. I've made the deepest friendships. It was horrifying to go. I literally like cried my eyes out leaving my children. It was really like a motherhood and career collide moment for me, because my daughter was really sick and I had all the feels of like, this flight is kind of like a work trip slash like, but my daughter's sick and I shouldn't go on this work trip. And what do I do? And my husband was home with her and he's like, you have to show them that you can do this. And you also have to show them that you trust me to do this for them. And that was really hard to do. And I did it. And my really close friend that met me out there, as I'm like bawling my eyes out, like about to cancel, not get on my flight, go home, take care of my sick child. She was like, these types of growing experiences make everybody uncomfortable, not just you. Like, in your growth as a human and a mother attached to a family, now it's going to make your husband uncomfortable because he's doing something that he doesn't normally do. And it's going to make your kids uncomfortable because they're getting comforted by someone that they don't normally get comforted by. And everyone is going to learn this new dynamic. Mm-hmm. And that really, I mean, it couldn't have been more true. And it was all the things. So this was such a wonderful experience. And to wrap it up, you know, he did not sign the executive order, and that's okay, because this executive order was sent to every Democratic governor in the country. And guess who made a change within 7 days of that executive order being put on his desk? Do you know?
I do.
The governor of California proposed the 28th Amendment to, yes, to ban assault rifles, you know, just basically completely changed the gun laws in America. And it was, you know, everything in that executive order, you know, suggested this. So, you know, step one is complete and we will continue on. But I mean, it was just so powerful, so emotionally, you know, exhausting and, you know, empowering all at the same time. It was an experience, you know, that I will never forget. So I'm glad that I didn't let my emotions get the best of me and my motherhood get the best of me. And, you know, I'm glad I went on this trip. So that's my long thing about what's been going on with me. So I've been riding that wave of exhaustion and exhilaration, like all in one, since I've gotten home, and it's been great. I just kind of see things in a new light, if you will.
Yeah. And I feel like advocacy work, just from what I've been doing for the past couple, I don't know, like 6 months, 7 months, I don't even know. But like I never anticipated how emotional it gets, and it does drain you. Mm-hmm. And you feel the feels. Like, it's a lot of kind of hearing stories, being in an experience that makes you think about certain things, and it really can impact you in so many ways. That's incredible, but also it's, like you said, it's just draining. Yeah. And it really does take a lot out of you. And I never realized that until you start doing the work, and then you're like, whoa, this is way more than you ever thought it was going to be. And it's super powerful. And then there's this other piece where you have to like also be able to rejuvenate yourself to be able to do more of the work. And then also the guilt that you need to rejuvenate yourself, considering like the work is, you know, it's almost like a privilege to be able to rejuvenate yourself as you hear all these stories. So anyway, you know, I'm so glad that you're able to do this advocacy component. And I was definitely thinking of you, and I loved seeing all the visuals and learning more, and, you know, you getting on that plane and going, I think is like a huge thing. And it's something that so many parents go through. Like, I really don't want to do this right now, but I know that I need to, want to in other ways. Like, I want to, because I think it's good for me, but I don't want to do it because I feel uncomfortable. And that uncomfortability is scary. It's fearful. I just actually dealt with a version of this with my son. So I think that taking those steps, going back to what your husband was saying, is so crucial, because they see you doing it and they see, you know, that mm-hmm. they can do it too.
Yeah. Another key component to that point is that making mistakes, especially white women in general, are so wrapped up in perfectionism that it's like they'd rather defer and like not do or say anything, because what if it's wrong, and what if they're corrected, and what, you know, all of those things that make it feel uncomfortable, because it's like you're already uncomfortable saying it the way you only know how to say it in the first place, and then to be corrected on it, you're like, okay, I'm not getting involved in this. And that's super natural. And what I learned from Syra and Maisha T. Hill was there. Oh my God. I was like fangirling so hard. I got to talk to her and take pictures. She wrote Check Your Privilege. She has an entire community that I highly recommend everyone check out. But anyway, they encourage mistakes. Like, they say, you must do this work. You will make mistakes, and that's okay. Like, no one's judging you for your mistakes. I think people are more apt to judge in silence and, you know, omission than in actually like attempting to, you know, to learn. So I'm proud of you for feeling uncomfortable and going through all the feels and getting your kids involved, because it's not easy. It's really not easy. But, you know, I don't think our generation, before our parents, this was not really like a thing. And so to make it a thing, it's like we're double learning, because we have to learn for ourselves, and then we have to learn how to sort of translate that for our children.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. But yes, that's what's been going on with me. So I'm in, you know, recharge mode, and then ready to hit the ground running again more, because it really is all connected to, you know, working motherhood which, you know, on Working Mom Notes is so huge for me. You know, nothing can really change in the workplace until we change, you know, these cultural issues. It's just, it's such a bigger problem than I ever realized all around. You know, women at work, it's not just like a little tiny, like, oh, let's just fix like company policy and then everything will be better. It's like so much, it's rooted so deep. So little by little, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so much there, and it does have, it all touches like each other in terms of, you know, thinking of it as the 6 degrees of separation and how it all sort of like falls into touching another component, you know, how we show up for our family and for ourselves. So it's such a huge, huge part of it. So yeah, I'm like so excited about, you know, where things are going and really looking forward to our next season. If you have not listened to some of these interviews or to, you know, our most listened episode, we definitely recommend you going back through over the summer and listening to some of the episodes that maybe you didn't get an opportunity to listen to. And we'd love your feedback too, as we're revamping for season 4. So you can email us on our Instagram pages or on our website. There is like a contact us. You can DM us on there, whether it is Motherhood and Career Collide or Working Mom Notes or Learning Motherhood, any of those places, you'll be able to reach us. We're the ones answering those. So do not hesitate to reach out to us. If you have an idea or a guest that you feel like he'd be awesome for the podcast, please let us know. We'll look at it and see if it's a good fit and then reach out. So we're always open to opportunities to enhance what we're doing. This is a great time as we sort of like have this break from releasing episodes and we're in creative mode of creating new episodes for next fall. With that said, I guess we can end with, how did motherhood and career collide for you this week?
My gosh. So I've been in total end of year, like about to be summer mode, right? So it's like literally getting all the things together for the teachers and the kids and the activities and the graduation parties and the this and that and the other. On top of, I'm doing some really fun collaborations with, well, it will be out by the time we release this. So go check out my collaboration with Fruits of Motherhood. So I've been working on that like all day. When you texted me, that's what I was doing. So we have some really great content coming out that we're working on together that I'm excited about. So just like finding the time to do this, you know, the collaborations and the work that is meaningful to me on top of doing the things that my kids need that is also meaningful to me in a different way. So that's sort of where I am this week, where it just like I blink and the day is done. And I'm like, how did that happen? Why? Where did that go? So that's really what I'm, you know, dealing with this week, but not in a bad way. All good things, all good, happy, exciting, entering summer things. How about you? How did motherhood and career collide for you this week?
Well, school ended for us a week ago. So we're recording this the second week of June as reference to everyone listening. So by the time this airs, everyone's on school break, summer break. So I just finished what was talked about in Parents magazine, which is the ABC Countdown, which is a crazy thing that they do at our school to make it fun. And while it's fun, it's really challenging in many ways for parents. If you have multiple kids, it's a very interesting experience. So I'm glad our kids had a great time. I am certainly burnt out from that. And then we are in our first week of summer break. So my child, my oldest, is doing ice hockey camp And so I am at the rink. I am in the parking lot with my hotspot on from my phone and recording this here. So I am, you know, doing two things at once. And while I probably could have dropped him off, it's a 20 to 30 minute drive from our house. So it really doesn't make sense to drive all the way back considering it's from 9 to 11:30. Not a long time. So no. Yeah, that's how it's colliding for me. There's a bunch of stuff that we're getting done for Learning Motherhood. We got a new client. So I'm like trying to push through all that while we are headed on a 3-day camping trip with a bunch of class families from one of the classes that my middle son is in. So lots going on. It really hasn't ended yet in terms of the craziness, but it's all like, to your point, Ashley, it's all like good things. It's just trying to balance the good with trying to stay on top of the things that you really don't want to get behind on. And I'm so excited for all of, you know, what we have going on this summer. And then in addition, you know, kind of the growth that's happening with Learning Motherhood, which is also why having this time this summer will be good, because we are experiencing some growth and it's really great. While that's amazing and positive, it is summer, so we have limited amount of childcare, but we're making it work. So it's things like this where you have a camp that's only, you know, a couple hours where you have to navigate. That's yeah. Awesome. But we do have some full day camps coming up. And I think because the kids are a little bit older, it's a little bit easier to do a half day camp and then have them chill at home for a little bit, especially when they've been athletic. So I'm rambling, but I just keep this in mind for those that have littles and sort of like, you know, the next phase here of stuff to think about. So there's positive and negatives, you know?
Yeah.
But it's exciting. I think the kids are going to have a wonderful summer. I think that while we had a moment of no childcare for portions of the summer that fell through a week ago and I was scrambling, we are back on track with full childcare for my 4-year-old. And then we're covered for the boys too. So we should be all set now. So we're good.
Good.
Yeah.
For now.
A little hairy for a second and I had a slight meltdown, but those are things that happen. That's what happens. Sometimes the unexpected hits us and does. We're all good now.
Good.
So it's weird to sign off because I know this is good for us, but at the same time, it's hard to take the break. We're not like used to it. We didn't do this last summer, but we love you guys. We love you. Having you listen, we love the support of all of you, and we're so grateful that, you know, you take the time to listen to our episodes and hopefully find them resourceful. And we'll be back in the fall with some great new stuff coming your way.
Yes, thank you all, everyone, for listening, and have a wonderful summer.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening. We hope you find support in our words. For more, come find us on Instagram at Motherhood Career Collide or on our websites, learningmotherhood.co and workingmomnotes.com.
We would be so grateful if you could leave us a review and share this episode with a friend that needs to hear this discussion. We are all in this together. And as a reminder, you are not alone. You are doing your best and you are enough.